All right. Well, this passage out of Hebrews 12 has been really speaking to me this whole while on the break that I was. Obviously, a lot is going on in our country and world, and you don't have to be a prophet or a rocket scientist to figure out that there are changes to our daily life that have already taken place and that are at hand. And the passage that we read this morning, I really hope and pray as I go into it, and hopefully it's already speaking to you, will wake us up to the eternal reality of things that are taking place, and that we're not caught unaware, and that we are in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches, just like in the book of Revelation. And we went through those messages earlier here in the year in Revelation. But there's a huge difference here in what the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 is bringing out, and the difference in the Old Testament faith that people had. You see those first passages, 18 to 24, and God awesomely manifested himself to Old Testament servants. His holiness and our sinfulness were contrasted. Mountains shook, the ground opened up and swallowed thousands of people. It's like, whoa, this stuff people think, man, they think there's two different gods from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's like, this stuff is like, whoa. But one of the things is that man, right from the outset, never really realized what sin has done to us. Sin has really messed us up. Sin has separated us from a holy God. And God was trying to get mankind to realize that he is holy. He's unapproachable in and of ourselves in our own present state. Initially, we could walk with God. We walked and talked with Adam and Eve, saw God face to face. They saw what we have to live by faith in our daily walk. But they saw, and then sin came in and brought. Where did all the garbage in the world come from? Right there. It came from sin. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't like that answer. Well, and everybody's entitled to an opinion, but that is what has done this. And in the Old Testament, God made very clearly his holiness, his majesty, and yet he wanted man to come to him. He wanted people to walk with him. And he reached out, and he started speaking through Abraham, through Moses, through the prophets, calling people to a relationship. And the passage that the writer of Hebrews, and the reason I'm saying writer of Hebrews, because this is one of those books where there's debate on who the writer is. Paul usually identified himself when his writings, that he was the one writing it. Peter did. James, the Lord's brother. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There are lots of instances where names are identified, but the book of Hebrews is one where there's lots of debate. There's some that think it could be Barnabas or Apollos, and obviously some think it might be Paul just doing it a little different way. And there are lots of different things in this, but this person obviously knew Jewish history very, very well, and he was referring to, man, they were terrified. Listen to Paul writing to the Corinthians about this. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact that our forefathers were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. It's like, wow. Jesus was in the Old Testament? It's like, yeah. The pre-incarnate Christ was what we believe in the New Testament. All the Old Testament appearances of God were the person of Jesus. When Moses had the burning bush experience, and when he asked afterwards, who should I say is sending me? I am who I am is sending you. And that's why when Jesus said in John chapter 8, that before Abraham was born, I am, the Jewish religious leaders knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying, I am the God that appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and that's why they picked up stones to stone him. And Paul is recognizing, and Paul was one of those religious leaders that didn't get it initially. That they, in fact, he was consenting to the crucifixion of Christ and standing against everything that Jesus came to do until his eyes were opened. And that's what we need to pray for, is spiritual eyes to be opened by every man, woman, and child in the face of this earth. That's what our call as the church is. But this writer here, Paul, is writing that that rock was Christ, and Jesus was with those people through all those experiences. He says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Wow, so that's the kind of Old Testament faith that they walked in, where, man, things happened that, like, whoa. And you would think that they would just automatically have served God. You look at the things that happened, you would think that after they seen what happened with the Red Sea, walking across, miraculously delivered, they would have never doubted God being with them, God's provision, God working. What do we see? And that's why we have mentioned here about the grumbling. Every new situation they faced, what did they do? They grumbled and complained. What is it very easy for us to do whenever we face new impossible situations? We grumble and complain. It's like, wow. So we need to turn from that. And I'm saying this in my own heart. And obviously my wife hears me grumble. But it is, we see these kinds of things that take place. And it's easy to do that. But we need to learn from these bad examples here. I don't want to be that way. I need to turn from that. And the good thing is, as we do, God is there with open arms to receive us, to help us, to strengthen us. And this is the good thing now. We look at those Old Testament examples. We learn from the balance. I don't want to do those things. But in the next number of weeks, next week, we are beginning a whole series on men and women of the Old Testament, their examples of faith and how they lived in the governments they had to deal with, in the hard situations that they had to face, and how their faith came shining through, and yet also how imperfect they were. Because many times we think, man, we're not close to... It's like, yes, you need to understand that all those people were imperfect just like we are. Did lots of things that they shouldn't have done and said things they shouldn't have said. But the difference now in the New Testament, the Jesus difference, and this is what he says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You and I need to know this morning that when we turn in faith to Jesus, and it's not by just saying some prescribed sinner's prayer, it's the cry of our hearts, Lord, save me. The thief on the cross next to him just said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he didn't say you had to get down and get baptized. He didn't say you had to go through all. He said, no, today you shall be with me in paradise. And we need to understand when our heart's cry is, Jesus, come into my heart and life. He does come in, and he makes his home. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The whole New Testament church experience is to be joyful, full of praise, full of glory. You look at when Jesus was born, initially Mary and Joseph, these angels, typically in the Old Testament, when angels appeared, it wasn't for good. It was like announcing judgment is coming. But guess what? The announcement at Jesus' birth was, I bring you tidings of great news and great joy that'll be for all the people. This is the message of the New Testament church. We have a God who loves us, who has fulfilled the scriptures of the Old Testament that were written down for us so we could look back. That's why Paul is so excited in his writings. It's like he finally got it. The pieces of the puzzle came together. All those Old Testament passages, and they were scattered throughout. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to make it so he could understand, like, wow, this stuff about Jesus was spoken of throughout the Old Testament. Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. And people say, wow, Jesus could do all those things. It's like, he can do a lot of things in his own power, but guess what? He can't do the things that people did to him on the cross and betraying him. Those things are not things you can organize and plan out. You can't plan out your death and the method of execution, and it was all there. So I want to encourage you this morning, these words, which, sad to say, a lot of churches are throwing the Bible to the wind and saying, we can change it, we can update it. And it's like, no, those words are eternal words, and they're here for our own good, and they're our owner's manual. And we need to see that the same God who worked in the Old Testament is at work in the New Testament, and we have a message of great news, of great joy for the world around us, and that our names are written in heaven, that our names are written in blood, the blood of Christ that Jesus shed on the cross for us, and that grosses people out. That's what's so sad about our hymnals. So many don't want to sing about the blood anymore. In fact, there are writers saying, we need to quit talking that way, and it's like, I'll tell you, there's one person who knows how important the blood is, and that's Satan. It was that blood that sealed his defeat. And so that's why he doesn't want to have the church teaching about the importance of the blood and what the blood of Christ is and how it is our forgiveness. It is our cleansing. And there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, the old hymn writer said. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And that's it. We don't walk out of church this morning condemned and beaten down. We walk out of church this morning that God loves me. God is with me. He's going to give me a joy even in the hard, difficult situations where we grieve in the family of Brent Van Vonderen. We need to continue to pray for them as he was last year. We had his funeral list a week and a half ago, and we need to continue to pray for people. And Beth Meyer, how many remember Beth? You know, Beth, I just ran into her at the pharmacy the other day. She is moving back to Grantsburg, and obviously Dwayne lost his battle with cancer, and we just see all these things. But thank God that we know that we're going to be together again. That is the New Testament joy that we have. Is that this is not the end. This life is not over when we die. There is going to be eternal life where there is no more sickness, mourning, crying, or pain, no more death. But notice the change in the New Testament. It is. There is such, from the fear, which we still need to have, a holy fear of God, to fulfillment, to good news, to great joy, to awesome worship in spirit and in truth. The Savior has appeared. He has come to redeem, to reconcile, to forgive, to restore mankind from its fall into sin. And thank God, the apostles, the 120 in the upper room, and the over 500 who witnessed the resurrected Jesus has brought us this message that we believe and why you're here this morning in church. It's why we're here. However, we need to take some things to heart, and this is the point of the message. But listen to Peter. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Now he's bringing out, man, do you realize the Old Testament prophets did not understand what now we can understand? We can see. And I've been saying, Lord, how come I personally, and I run into lots of people that just have, you know, never believed, and some obviously still don't believe right now, and it's like, I don't get it. How come I can see this and others don't? And it is, it's a question that many times all of us ask, and obviously it's things beyond our total comprehension and understanding. We know that no one can come unless God opens their eyes. But how come some of our eyes are opened and others aren't? And that is a question we have to leave to God. Because there is, we have all the battles of Calvinism and Arminianism and all that. But it is, God knows everyone's heart. In fact, I had a professor explain it this way. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. That's the material of our hearts. And our hearts need to be soft and open to God. And we need to realize how great the salvation that we are walking in is. And we did not follow cleverly invented stories, Peter goes on, when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven. And when we were with him on the sacred mountain, and that's just it. These guys didn't make up these stories, as some say. They heard, and they're just sharing what they have heard. And it fits with what the Old Testament prophet said. And then what we as followers of Jesus do is to take this message, this good news, the eternal truths of our faith. And as Jesus said to his parents at age 12, when he was in the temple sharing with the religious leaders and the people there, didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? That's the attitude we have to have. And that doesn't mean that we all become preachers, that we all become teachers, and that we just have our nose in the Bible. It means that we live out our faith on a daily basis, every day of our life. And all the things that Jesus told us, he said, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Wow. So Jesus said he told us lots of things. Now I'm going to encourage you to go and read. I'm not going to read all of these this morning. Go read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. They have a lot to do with the days in which we are living. And a lot of things are happening. The wars and rumors of wars, the pestilences. Now, we haven't seen the fearful sights in the heavens yet, but guarantee us one of these days, we might see some things that are going to shake people up. Guess what? Jesus told us these things not to scare us, but to let us know who's in control no matter how out of control it looks. And so take this stuff to heart. And so read those passages. And I had a lot of them written down here, but I'm not going to go into them. But I want you to consider some things here this morning that the church of Jesus is in the crosshairs. You think about this. Have you noticed during this pandemic? I found it amazing that this lady down, did you hear about the lady in Texas that went and opened her hair salon because she was like needing to work because she had bills to pay? And what did they do? They went in and arrested her and fined her. And obviously now the judges of the courts have thrown that out, but it's like, really? And obviously, now, I totally disagree with what the police did with George Floyd over in Minneapolis. That should not have happened. And they are dealing with this situation, and they need to. And we need to really pray for the racial healing that we need in this country. But the riots and the looting and burning is beyond comprehension. And the police are told by the same mayors that, oh, just let them do it. It's like, it's amazing. The mayors say, throw a person in jail for opening their hair salon. And then a church in Mississippi, now I don't know if you heard about this, having a drive-in service, which should have been legal. They weren't together even. They were sitting out in their parking lot. And the mayor of that city had squad cars show up to escort them and fine them $500 each. Isn't that nice? It's like, really? What is the deal? What is going on here? And I could go on. I got a whole list of things that have, and again, this is not made up stuff. There are plenty of stuff on the internet. You have to be careful just because they're, but this is the Alliance Defending Freedom. These are things that they have battled in court, and obviously these things have been thrown out because it's ridiculous. But I want you to know that Satan could care less about any other ism and teaching out there. What he does hate is the teaching about Jesus, who he is and what he came to do. And that's why you're looking at churches having a little extra eye being given to us by, sad to say, people in government. And we need to pray for them. I'm not saying we go out and riot and boycott and all the things that go on. But this morning, I don't want to go on and on into all that. This morning, I want us to look at how do we respond to this? How many have heard of the third option? Anyone heard of this? Pastor Miles McPherson from the Rock Church in San Diego. He's a former professional football player. And he's got a church. He is black. In fact, his background, he has black background, Chinese background, and white. So he's a mixture. And he said he grew up in a black neighborhood and went to a white school. And he said he was picked on both places because he wasn't obviously white. He was brown. And then he'd go to the black neighborhood and he wasn't dark enough. And so he understands the race and being picked on and being bullied. And he came through all of this. And what is so amazing today with all the polarization, do you think we're being polarized in our country? I cannot believe the media on this coverage. It seems like the media doesn't want there to be a cure. It's like the media wants a second wave to hit us. It's like, there it is. Why is that? It's like there are more things going on here, and I'm not going to even get into that this morning. There are more things going on here than meets the eye. But the bottom line is, it's so polarizing in this country, ignited by the media. And there's a passage that he used, and I want to encourage you to go online, and you can just type in the third option by Pastor Miles McPherson, and he has a number of messages. But this passage out of Joshua 5, and I'm going to end with this, Joshua chapter 5, it says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? And I just love this right here as a passage. You look at it, the polarization. Obviously, Joshua was called to go in and possess the promised land. They were in a battle. And he's seen this imposing man ahead of him with a sword drawn. He's like, well, I'm sure he was thinking, I hope this guy's on our side. But he goes up and asks him, are you for us or them? That's polarization, isn't it? There's two sides here. And it's like, I love the answer that he's given here. He goes, neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence, and some versions put it in worship, and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is, again, I firmly believe, one of those pre-incarnate of Jesus appearings in the Old Testament. Because no angel, you look in Revelation, when the angel was speaking to John, John was going to worship him, and the angel said, "Don't do it. You don't worship me. I'm one of your servants. We're in this together." But these in the Old Testament, right here, this was Jesus. He was coming down, and he was letting old Joshua know that he wasn't for them. He wasn't for the enemies. He was coming to do the work of the Lord. And this morning, we could say, whose side are you on? Are you left or are you right? Are you conservative or are you liberal? Are you Democrat or are you a Republican? And we can all take our sides. What is your color of skin? What is your nationality? We could all be holding off here. And that's exactly what's going on in our world, in our country. And what is Jesus' perspective? What did Jesus come for? Just a few select or for the whole world? He came for the whole world. And as I mentioned earlier in my prayer and in the message, Jesus looked down from the cross and the very ones who, quote, would be his enemies, said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that's what this morning, what in the world is going on? God has it outlined in his word. We're going to leave him put the pieces together of this puzzle. We're not going to have it figured out. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. Not even he, only the Father does. So we leave that to him. But what we've got is a job to do. And we must not be polarized. Don't get polarized. Don't get into political battles. Yeah, I can talk with people I agree with real easy. And I can get all fired up. This message that Brother McPherson shared is so true. We need to see things from God's perspective. We're working for Jesus here. And I want to see this church full of every tribe, language, and nation. Now, I know in northern Wisconsin, we don't have a lot of all the other peoples from different parts of the world. But we have a lot of right here of people from different nationalities and backgrounds, different colors of skin that we need to have as a part of the body of Christ. And we need to have Democrats and Republicans. And they need to be able to worship together, the left and the right. And if you think that's impossible, then that's what did Scripture say? God is the God of the impossible. And we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. And I just want to share my heart. As I travel America, and you know, you hear me say this all the time, we are so blessed. The things that you and I are enjoying, that we have enjoyed, no nation in history has had it better than we have. And that is in spite of all the garbage that's a part of this country. We have it so good. We have electricity, cars, planes. I mean, oh, so many modern conveniences. It just blows my mind away. And it's like, wow, do we realize how good we have it? And many times, Scripture warns that we worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. The passage that we read out of Hebrews says, basically, it's telling us, hey, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken, which is what? Our spiritual life. Our foundations based in the truth of what we believe about Jesus, our faith. That is something that needs to be unshakable. That I need to stand upon the truths of the faith that we have in Jesus. Because all the physical things are going to be shaken. The money system is being shaken. The health system's being shaken. Everything, the political system, every aspect of life is being shaken. And our faith is what needs to bring us together and to make us work as one. I want to encourage you, the food shelf. I don't know how many have been at the food shelf and are the one at the church there. It is amazing. Last month, over 32,000 pounds of food were given out. It's just exciting to see. And we're working with the tribe out here on taking food for the elders every Thursday. And last week, Thursday, they had a free food giveaway. But John, 150 people, what Bill said, came through. Under 300. Okay, wow. And I went in there, and the parking lot was full of people that were reaching, you know, getting help and good food. Good food. And it's exciting that we as the church are a part. That's what we need to be about, is reaching out, helping, letting our love, putting our faith into practice, our words being lived out in daily life. And that's what God is wanting to get across to us this morning. That as commander of the Lord's army, this same Jesus is here with us and saying, hey, I'm calling you into battle. And what is our battle? It's not against flesh and blood. And that's what we want to get involved in, is battles against flesh and blood. But what is it against? The powers and principalities of hell itself. That's what we're battling. And the only way we can win that battle is by prayer. I can't encourage you enough. Now, I wanted to start Tuesday. We are going to start praying together again on Tuesday mornings at 9 and Monday mornings at 9 at Main Street. And so I want to encourage you to pray. And if you have any questions on any of the things and you just want to talk and pour your heart out, you don't hesitate to call me or any one of us on the ministry team. We are here to help. But I want to encourage you this morning to know that God is at work in this situation. We need to take heart and not get worried and being fearful and let all this garbage weigh us down. And Jesus warned us, because of the increase of sin, the love of most would grow cold. Don't allow that to happen. Pray for people. Pray for people who make you mad. Pray for them. Love them. Do kind things for them. But it is, and love each other. Man, I wish we could all hug today, but I know I can't call you to do that. But it is, we do. We need to love each other as God calls us to. Amen.